We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. I mentioned this morning that we wouldn't be in our series Seeing Jesus tonight. We're looking at this passage kind of as an extended introduction to the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. This is the time of the Passover in Jerusalem, and Jesus and the disciples are there. They're in that upper room, and they're getting ready to have the Lord's Supper together. Matthew 26 and verse 17. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, as we open your word tonight and as we study it, as we learn from it, we ask that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts. And Lord, that you would teach us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In college, I worked for several years at a grocery store in the evenings after school. And it was called Ingalls Grocery Stores in Boiling Springs, not far from the college. And one night I remember I was driving home. Sometime at night, I don't remember when. And I leave the parking lot, I'm headed down the road, and it wasn't a busy road. It was like, you know, a one-lane road going there. And as I'm driving, I notice behind me that there's a cop car. I do not like it when a cop follows me. I get very nervous. Generally, my practice is I pull over. I take like the first driveway. Like, and so I was driving going, oh no, I know it. I just know they're going to pull me over for something. You know, this is college where your car's not the best, you know. Like, I probably have a taillight out or something. So I'm driving. I'm just watching him in my rearview mirror. And sure enough, he puts his lights on and he pulls me over. I go, oh, you got to be kidding me. Right? And so I pull over and the cop comes to the window and he goes, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And I said, I do not know. I was, you know, going the speed limit or trying to. And he goes, "You were swerving all over the road." And I went, yeah. I was so focused on my rearview mirror, right, and just watching the cop go, oh, I know, he's going to pull me over. But apparently, I wasn't paying attention to the road in front of me. I was so busy looking back that I forgot to look ahead. And when we talk about the Lord's Supper, and when we read in Matthew chapter 26, and then in 1 Corinthians 11, we understand that the Lord's Supper is primarily a time about looking back. It's this time of remembrance where we remember the blood that was shed for us and the body of Christ that was broken for us. It's this time where we remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's a time when we look back and remember the day of our salvation, how our sins were washed away. And it's this time of looking back and remembering, but it has a part of it that is also looking ahead. And Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians 11 with the three words, "till he come." Jesus Christ ends this time with his disciples in verse 29, where he says, "I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And tonight I just want to spend a few minutes exploring what Jesus Christ meant by this, what he was telling his disciples through that, because he talks about a couple different things, three different things. First, he's talking about a coming kingdom. He says, "I'm not going to drink this again with you until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He's talking about a coming kingdom, and we know this. This is heaven, right, that he's referring to. He's talking about our future home as believers, that we look forward to experiencing that place where we look forward to being with Jesus Christ. And Jim Reeves wrote the song, "This World Is Not My Home." You guys know this one. "I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door." He says, "I can't feel at home in this world anymore," because we have a coming kingdom. We have a home that we're looking forward to. And it's a far better place than this one. You know, Eric and I have gone to Newport and toured those mansions there. Have you ever been to those? Probably a number of you have. They're amazing. They're huge. All the money that was poured into those, like, they imported things all the way from like Italy and Europe just to have in these mansions in Newport. We look at those and go, that's amazing, right? I could live in a place like that. We're going to live in an even better place. Like, those things don't compare to what Jesus Christ has prepared for us. And Jesus Christ was reminding them of this place. John 14, 2, "In my Father's house," Jesus said, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." It's a far better place. But when he mentions a kingdom, we also get the idea of a ruler, right? That there's a king. And it's a far better king than any ruler we've had on this earth, right? And we're not going to get into politics tonight, but I don't think anybody says that anybody down here can hold even a candle to Jesus Christ, right? And we look at earthly rulers and then we say, I'm so thankful that I have a heavenly king that is far better than that. And we look ahead to this coming kingdom and a far better place, a far better person, and a far better life that we're going to have when we get there. And Jesus Christ directs them to this, and he says, one day you're going to experience this better kingdom. And we look forward to that place. But not only a coming kingdom, but also he's talking about a coming reunion where he says, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, with you, a coming reunion. I mean, we all know how awkward family reunions can be, right? When you get together with like your extended family and I mean, they can get awkward, especially if like how different you can be from your family, like different in like all your views, especially as believers with non-believers, right? You live a different lifestyle with them. You go to different places than they do. You enjoy different things than they enjoy. You even use different language about things than they use. And when those things get together, all those differences, it can make things difficult. It can make things awkward. It was several years ago that Eric and I got to go back to Ambassador, our Baptist college where we graduated from, and for like a whatever year reunion it was, I don't remember, but we were back there, and it really was a great time, and it's like we fit right back in, and it was because we were around people that maybe we hadn't seen them in years, but we believed the same thing they believed, we served the same Lord, we were doing a lot of the same things, and it felt like we fit right back together. And it's the same feeling we feel here, right, as a church, because we all believe the Bible. We all serve Jesus Christ. And we have every Sunday like a sort of reunion where we just get back together and there's unity. There's unity that we have with one another. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul would write to the Ephesians, and he said that you need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he used the word endeavor, because a lot of times it is, right? It's this endeavor that we're undertaking to make sure that we're united. But in that, we look ahead and we see this coming reunion where there is going to be no endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There will be unity because we will be changed. And changed to perfection, to the image of Jesus Christ. And there won't be this struggling for unity. There just will be a unity and an easy unity among believers as we're there in heaven. But it's not just a reunion of believers. It's also a reunion of us with our Savior, with Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself," and he says, "that where I am, there ye may be also." And I don't want to rush by that last phrase where he said, "that where I am, there ye may be also." That we will be there with Jesus Christ. And we're going to be with him there forever, and in a way that we have not experienced yet. And I mean, we get to experience a closeness with Jesus Christ and a fellowship with him. When we read our Bible, we pray and we sing. And in these times of devotion, in these times of worship, where we reverence our Lord, we understand just a part of what it is to be united with Jesus Christ and have that close relationship. But it's just a taste of that reunion that we're going to have with Jesus Christ when we finally get to heaven. And that's going to be forever. We're going to be with Jesus Christ forever, never ending. You know how it is on that last day of vacation, right? You've enjoyed vacation, but that last day you go, like, now I got to go back, right? We got to pack everything up. I got to go home. And all of a sudden, like, work and all the projects at home, they start to like creep into your vacation. And it kind of ruins that last day, right? You're trying to just enjoy it. But that last day, everything starts to come back. All these reminders of what you've got going on. There's not going to be a last day of heaven, right? There is no last day of eternity. There will be no reminders of all earthly work and all those things. It's just going to forever be with Jesus Christ and those that are saved. We're going to have that coming reunion. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, they shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall reign forever and ever. And we will be with him forever and ever. And I was reading that passage and I was thinking, I wonder how John felt after that vision ended, right? John had this glorious vision of heaven and what it was like to be there. And then, I don't know, he opens his eyes and he's still on Patmos. You know, he looks around and there's the sand and the beach, you know, and you know, all the rocks of that island. And he goes, I think that's why we have this last passage there, right? Where he says, he which testified those things come quickly. And then he says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Right? Because John opens his eyes and he goes, oh, come on, I'm back here again, you know? And he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Like that was this desire that John had. He didn't want to be on Patmos anymore. He wanted to be where he had just seen. And don't we all feel that desire as we read about heaven? We read about that coming kingdom and this reunion that we're going to have with our Savior. And we echo those words of John that says, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because we look ahead to that and we see that reunion that we're going to have and we say, you know what? I want that. I want to be there. But not only is it a coming kingdom and a coming reunion, but one more thing, it's also a coming feast. A coming feast. And Jesus says in Matthew 26, verse 29, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I mean, what's a reunion without food, right? Especially as Baptists, right? And you know, family reunions, you got people have their signature dishes, like your mom or, you know, the matriarch of the family. She has her dish that she makes the same way every time, and it's good every single time. You don't want her to change a thing, and you look forward to that. And people bring all the food, and it's always more than you need, and that's fine. Right? And then you have all the dessert you could ever want, and it's all good. And you have this feast that takes place, and you want good news. There's going to be food in heaven, right? We're going to have food in heaven that we can enjoy. And we find that Jesus Christ used this this illustration of like a marriage feast as an illustration of the kingdom of God and of heaven. He says in Matthew 22 and verse 1, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And then he said in verse 4, tell them which are bidden. The king said, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. This feast that was prepared, and he invites people. And you know, there were some that didn't respond to that invitation. They said, we're not going. But there were people that said, we are going to go. And we are of that group who've accepted that invitation to heaven and to this celebration. And that's what this feast was, where Jesus Christ referenced in Matthew 22. It was a marriage feast, and it was a celebration of a relationship. And that's what heaven is. It's a celebration of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we even think about the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? It's rejoicing in who we are in relationship to Jesus Christ. And we could talk about the change that took place from enemies to family with God. And that's what heaven is going to be. You know, in the Old Testament, it was pictured again in some of their sacrifices, because in some of them, they would offer part of the animal, but then part of it would be reserved for like a meal that they would have afterwards. And the person that offered it would eat of that sacrifice. And it was this picture of part of it be given to God and part of it given to this Israelite. And it was this picture of a meal between the two of them. And for example, the peace offering, it was that they could eat together because they were at peace, because all of a sudden there was no more enmity. That sin had been taken care of between the two. And now there was this relationship that had been restored. And that's us. That's us with our Savior. Our relationship's been restored. And we look forward to this joyful celebration of who God is and who our Savior is and what He's done for us. And one day we'll sit around that table with our Savior and rejoice in celebration for all that He's done for us. And so in Matthew chapter 26, even as Jesus Christ talks to His disciples about His blood that would be shed and His body that would be broken for them, He ends by looking ahead to this future time. A few years ago, our family got to go to Disney World down in Florida with Erica's parents, and we had a lot of fun, right? We really enjoyed it, had a good time, the weather was great, and we had fun on the rides and the food and all of that. But after we got done, in the next couple, some of the days after that, we had a conversation at least once, and it started with, next time, we're going to do, you know, you have these conversations. You go, next time we're going to do this. Next time, let's change this. Let's, you know, let's do some things different. Next time, let's never go back, right? Or whatever it might be. And you have those sort of conversations, and we had those, right? So I don't know if there will be a next time. But if there is, we've got it kind of roughed out what we want to do, and we got some things that, you know, how we'll do it different. And we have those conversations. We say, all right, we did it this time, but now next time, this was Jesus Christ's next time conversation with His disciples. And He tells them, listen, next time it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be exactly the same. He says, next time it's going to be a different location. All right, we're going to be in a new kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. He says, next time it's going to be a reunion. We'll be there, with the exception of Judas, and there'll be many more that will be there. And He says, next time it's going to be a celebration of what has taken place. Not looking ahead to what was going to happen, but now it'll be a celebration looking back at what I have done. That celebration. And tonight we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and as a church we're going to eat the cracker and drink the juice. And we're going to remember the broken body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look back at what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're going to look at and remember our salvation. But have you ever thought that the next time we eat together, it could be in heaven? That the very next time, I mean, we do this. We do it once a month, right? At the first Sunday of the month. But this is what Jesus Christ was getting across to His disciples. And have you ever thought that the very next time we do this, this could be the last time we have the Lord's Supper? The very next time we as a church could get together around a table like this, we could be in glory. And Jesus Christ could be in our midst. And we could just be celebrating. I mean, this could be the last time that the ushers and the deacons have to put on gloves, right, to hand us out. Not just because of COVID, but, you know, because that's how we do things. But it could be the very last time. The last time that the ladies have to break those crackers and pour the juice into the cups. The last time we have to pass it all out. The very next time we could be doing this with Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, that's what we look forward to, isn't it? That's our destination that we're excited about the next time. And so as we partake tonight, yes, we look back, and that is the primary focus of this. Remembering what Jesus Christ has done. But there's also part of us that says, you know what? Next time we could be in heaven doing this. And we're looking forward to that day when when we have that new kingdom and that reunion. And we look forward to the celebration and the feast that we're going to have in heaven, even as we look back and we remember. So while we remember and look back, let's also keep our eyes ahead, focused on that next time and focused on what we know is coming for us because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's pray.